Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and as the new school year begins, here's something to watch out for, especially if you're a college freshman or the parent of one. Mental health problems often express themselves for the first time in freshman year. In general, about half of mental health problems tend to show up between ages 14 and 24, according to an article on Huffington Post, and freshman year is an especially common time. Let's talk about why and what to do about it with Lloyd Setterer, medical director at the New York State Office of Mental Health, an adjunct professor at the Mailman School of Public Health at Columbia University. Also, Henry Chung, executive director of the NYU Student Health Center and clinical associate professor of psychiatry at the NYU School of Medicine. Dr. Setterer, Dr. Chung, welcome to WNYC. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you.
Dr. Setterer, is there a common pattern of anxiety or depression coming to the fore in freshman year, and how does it usually express?
These are the years, as you said, when illness is at greatest risk. So when you combine risk with stress, the stress of going off to school, the stress of leaving home, the stress of all the social and sexual demands and pleasures, if you will, of college, and the academic demands, and the use of alcohol and drugs, the ultimate solvent, the ultimate disinhibitor, these all come together and put these at-risk youth at risk to become ill with these common mental disorders.
And Dr. Chung, how is this related to being away from your parents for the first time? I thought that's supposed to induce feelings of relief and euphoria.
That's a great question. It generally does. But one of the things that we remember is that coming to college means that you're transitioning different kinds of social networks. So social networks, we know, are generally highly protective. So if you've moved someone from high school where they've had a well-established social network and family support system, and now they're making this transition where they have to really re-engineer, if you will, a different social network and a different support system, that in and of itself is a stress that most students manage extremely well. But unfortunately, as Lloyd just indicated, some do not.
You write that social anxiety disorder is especially prevalent and a disorder not many people think about. Dr. Setterer, I would think social anxiety is normal, if not universal, in freshman year of college. When does it become a disorder?
It becomes a disorder when it is disabling, when people can't leave their room, when they can't tolerate being in a classroom, when they can't, as Henry was just suggesting, turn to other students for the support that we all need as a part of any community.
And listeners, we can take your questions on this for our guests. Maybe you're a college student right now, struggling for the first time in your life with anxiety or depression, and you're asking yourself, where did this come from all of a sudden? Maybe you're a parent of a college student dealing with this right now. Call us, 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. And Dr. Chung, I'm curious to go a little bit deeper on why so much mental illness expresses in this general age group of 14 to 24. I mean, we know adolescence can be difficult. We know this transition of living away from the home you grow up in can be difficult. Is there also something biologically developmental at that age?
Yes, there is. I mean, what we find based on brain studies is that the brain is accelerating in terms of its overall development, and the brain is beginning to prune certain neural pathways, if you will. So if you think about it, when you're younger, you know, the possibilities of what your brain can do, can learn to do, is endless. But as you get better and better at something, there's some pruning that occurs because we have to become efficient at certain kinds of skills. And that can come at the expense of something else. And if you think about this pruning process, lots of things are being pruned, not just skills like doing something or having a hobby, but also how we relate to the world. Unfortunately, part of that pruning process is also at risk in those that are biologically vulnerable, maybe through family history, maybe through, unfortunately, drug and alcohol influences, which then create situations where you can get disruption and ultimately a mental disorder.
And Dr. Setterer, your article also mentioned sexual assault, obviously something that mostly girls, but also some boys, have to watch out for when they go away to college. But what does that have to do with the topic of mental illness?
Sexual assault is a trauma, and any trauma will stimulate any kind of underlying emotional problem. And so that event will precipitate an illness or bring out an underlying illness.
So if somebody is suddenly in a kind of looser social situation and finds herself being groped or whatever, and something that she might have been protected from as a younger person, this might trigger something.
And it's important for youth to understand that this is one of the things that they may be exposed to when they go off to school.
How, Dr. Chung, should parents watch out for first signs of their college-age children having mental health problems? Where do they start?
Well, I think you first start with seeing if the tenor and tone of the discussions with your daughter or son have changed since they've left for college. Certainly one can expect that there are differences and maturational differences that will occur, but they tend to be very gradual. So if you see something sudden, you hear something sudden that's different about the way in which your child's expressing something to you, that's maybe the beginning of something you should pay attention to explore more of. That's one way. Another way would be to talk about academics. I mean, we know that academics tends to be one of the signs that can change. And certainly if a student is talking differently about how they're coping with their studies and feeling overwhelmed, that also can be a warning system. And a third, I think, is particularly for a freshman parent, freshman parents really should make every effort to attend the very first parents' weekend. I know that, you know, it's a time-honored tradition, and sometimes, you know, people poo-poo it, but that's a great opportunity to meet the academic advisor and a couple of professors of the student, where you can just ask a few general questions about how the course load is and how their son or daughter might be adjusting. And although there's confidentiality protections, still you can get some important details between the lines.
We're talking about the prevalence of mental illness expressing itself for the first time in freshman year of college with Lloyd Setterer from the Mailman School of Public Health at Columbia University and Henry Chung from the NYU Student Health Center and School of Medicine. They wrote an article on this together on the Huffington Post. We have some really interesting caller questions and experiences. We'll get to Peter in Minnesota, Isabella in Eastern Queens, but here's an anonymous caller from Greenwich, Connecticut, and feel free to call in anonymously on topics like this, really on anything. But thank you for calling. Hello.
Hi.
What happened to you?
Well, I'd actually, my assorted illnesses had been noticed long before college. I was diagnosed with ADHD when I was 11, mm-hmm. and then towards the end of high school, a whole array of things, depressive disorders, bipolar spectrum. And then when I went off to my freshman year of college, nobody had really understood the extent to which that would affect my ability to self-govern and manage my time and really do anything that's necessary to have a successful college experience. So without my parents there and doctors and assorted external motivators to say, you know, remember to take all your pills in the morning, remember to do your homework, this, that, and the other thing, mm-hmm. it was catastrophic, and I ended up having to withdraw from the university.
So what's the lesson of your experience for others who still want to be able to go away to college?
The important thing is to really take a very close inventory of everyone in your life who's helping you succeed up to that point and make sure you have a similar framework in place at college when you leave. I mean, my freshman year was 4 years ago. I'm still, you know, barely a junior. And I'm only now learning, actually, 4 years later, that what my real problem was anxiety and avoidance. So it's important to have a thorough understanding and a clear understanding of what it is that's affecting you, and then make sure that you have a mirrored framework at your university to help you have a successful experience.
Thank you for calling in. Thank you so much. I'm sure that's going to be helpful to some of our other listeners. And Isabella in Eastern Queens. Eastern Queens, you're on WNYC. Hi, Isabella.
Hi. Thank you so much for taking my call. I do have a freshman who just entered NYU and is dorming there for the first time. He has never been away from us except for a period where he took a program in Stanford, and he was terribly that was in California. He was terribly homesick, you know. Mm-hmm. But my real concern is that he seems to always be a loner type of a guy. And, I mean, he's doing fine. He's an A student, went through the public school system all the way from kindergarten to graduation of high school through the magnet program. And we're very proud of him. But I am a little concerned because he never speaks about what's going on, you know, like this. We moved him
any,
in.
Any certain signs, or just you're generally concerned because he's a loner?
I'm generally concerned, and I'm also like there's a history, like I myself had problems, so I'm wondering mm-hmm. when I heard your show starting when they talked about the biological factor, but...
Right. So, Dr. Chung, I know you have to leave us in a minute. Do you want to give a quick answer to Isabella?
Sure. I mean, you know, Isabella, this is a very common thing that we hear about, and particularly with the family history. I'd say a couple of practical things that you can try. I mean, one is that, you know, of course you can offer the student, your student, to reach out, you know, anonymously to a couple of our hotlines. We have hotlines where they can talk anonymously to counselors, and many students take advantage of it, either through email or through the phone. And it's 443-9999. That's the NYU hotline. So you can do that. And there's also an email mechanism that your student can use. Beyond that, I would say that, you know, to encourage your son to look for, to join a club, to look for some social networks that they can that he can begin to develop. You describe him as a loner type of person. And I think that we see a lot of that in our students. And part of college is to begin to explore some of these different opportunities. And he must have a hobby or two. And I guarantee you there's got to be some kind of club that's dedicated to that. And get him to go and, you know, try a meeting or something along those lines. Those are the initial first steps. And then if you see warning signs, and this is key for other parents as well, if you begin to see warning signs, the kinds of things that Dr. Sederer and I have written about in the Huffington Post, that's your cue to contact the school's counseling center directly. Do not hesitate. I think parents need to be aware that you can call a counseling center and say, I'm worried about my son for X, Y, and Z reason, and discuss your case. While they may not be able to give you specific information about your son or daughter, you have every right to express your concern and to get some advice about how to approach and help that situation. So don't hesitate to do that if you pick up a warning sign. Right now, it doesn't sound like you have any of those, so I try those early kinds of tips that I gave you.
All right. Dr. Henry Chung, director of the NYU Student Health Center, clinical associate professor of psychiatry at the NYU School of Medicine, thank you very much. And Dr. Sederer, I'm going to ask you one other thing before you go. Is a certain amount of kind of freaking out when you first go away to college and you're that age kind of normal and okay?
Well, freaking out is all right, provided it doesn't get in the way of your being able to be a student, doesn't get in the way profoundly in terms of your being able to develop the kind of relationships that you want to have in school and on a path to a future. So we all have moments where we say, oh, my God, what is this all about? What am I in the middle
because
of?
Because despite all these real concerns and real stories that we've heard from people, you also don't want to over-medicalize normal adjustment periods.
Exactly. And there is a difference between an illness and an adjustment.
Lloyd Sederer, medical director at the New York State Office of Mental Health, adjunct professor at the Columbia University School of Public Health. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Dr. Sederer and Dr. Chung's article on going away to college and having new mental health challenges appears on the Huffington Post. Brian Lehrer on WNYC coming up in a minute. We will meet a New Yorker named Aman Ali. He's taking the Ramadan tour, 30 mosques in 30 days. Stay with us.